B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I remember a few months ago you talked about you can't do anything until obviously free agency starts. Mm-hmm. You used the analogy kind of like that's when you can kind of have the wedding. Well, is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I could say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Okay. But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
Well, if the wedding's in 3 weeks and you don't know and you've gotten no indication, I would say you probably shouldn't get married. And that's Danny Ainge today, and we're just sort of reading into the tone, and so that's all that it is. But boy, I thought the tone was clear. This poor guy, Kyrie is gone, and they know it, and that's just sort of that's how it felt. Unless, and again, I'll just repeat for the third or fourth time, unless he's bluffing in some way,
and he could be,
he could be. He's a great poker player,
but it does sound like there's just an air of finality around all of it.
Or maybe there's just a piece that we're missing and he's playing something up because he's hiding something else, which is, you know, you never know with Danny. On the face of it, it sounds like he's gone. He is gone. But, you know, what would he be bluffing? You know, what is there anything we could be missing? And here's just one thing I'm curious. It kind of ties into that last conversation, but just a little bit. What if the Celts are offering something less than the max? Like, I mean, what if the Celtics aren't offering him that extra year and the extra $50 million?
Well, then it's on them.
So, and what if they're trying to sort of cover that up by putting it all on him? When the fact is, the Celtics didn't go with both barrels to re-sign him, or that they didn't fully commit to him financially.
Yeah, then it's on them.
Do you think that's a possibility?
No, I don't. Because I think that in that league, it's understood that you're going to get the max. You're the max guy, and here's what you're getting. I mean, who's the last guy that, like, was eligible for that, that was a, you know, a really good player that they said, you know, you're not getting that, and he'll get it somewhere else, right? It's like, I think you go in knowing that you're going to do that. I think he's gone. I mean, again, if you're asking me my gut, I think he's gone. I think they know he's gone. And when he says there are ongoing conversations, and again, I'm saying Ainge now. Ainge said the comment, there are ongoing conversations. Maybe some of it is the sign and trade that we were just talking about, or who knows what. Like, they're trying to come to a resolution that will help the team out a little bit. But Kyrie has made it clear to them, I have other choices before you, or I have other priorities before you. I mean, you know, how can we be surprised about it at this stage, given all the nonsense surrounding this clown?
Back to your thoughts, as promised. Brandon in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Can I be real quick, if that's all right?
Yes, I need you to be real quick.
All right, here we go. All right, so enough with Kyrie. I'm done with him. He's actually a drama queen on his team, so everybody's forgetting about Malcolm Brogdon. I would rather pick him up. He's a very poised player, has experience as well. Danny Ainge, just think about the draft. Ty Jerome's a champion from Virginia. I would bring him here. His stats are very nice. He's 39.9 from the three. You got Julius Randle and Al Horford, both 2020 free agents. I would trade Julius Randle for Al Horford. And if he doesn't have a plan in, for drafting a point guard, 2021, Damian Lillard. So,
okay, Brandon, I'm going to stop you there. And I actually encourage you to do that on your own time. The discussion here is, how do you get that superstar championship talent? Because I agree, that is what wins in that league. And so you thought you had one in Kyrie. We can debate whether he really was one or not. And the question is, if he's gone, and it feels like he's gone, what's the plan to get the next guy? Okay, and you can do the Randall thing and the Brogdon, even as much as I like him. All that stuff is our secondary concerns. What's the plan to reload and get that next guy?
You got me. I don't know.
Do you still trade Tatum and Brown for Anthony Davis?
No.
Why?
Too risky. You got burned once. You're going to burn again?
Well, Ainge, you know, he answered that question.
Okay, but
today,
again, he's going to give. See, now that's where I think he might be lying, because you got to give the league the you know, you have to give the appearance that you're willing to make that sort of deal. Otherwise, you're out of the market for those kinds of players. So you got to let everyone know, no, we still have a seat at the table. No, we'll talk. Yep, tell us. And then you try to swindle them, which is what he always tries to do. But I just can't imagine if it were to take Tatum and Brown, you lose Kyrie, and then you're going to offer up Tatum and Brown too?
For a guy to do the exact same thing Kyrie just did, play on 1 or 2 years left on his contract, risk losing him for nothing?
Can't do it.
You can't do that.
No, can't do it. And so, look, again, one of the beauties of the Kyrie deal, and part of the reason we all sit here on some level and say, I would do it again, is because the only real thing of consequence that they gave up was that eighth pick. And Sexton looks like he's going to be a good player. Is he a franchise-altering talent?
I don't know.
No, probably not. I mean, again, because how many of those are there in the league? There are like five of those.
Yeah, right.
Right? So, again, you gave up a good player. But that's it. That's it. And so he's going to give up two, you know, high lottery picks for a guy that leaves in a year? I doubt it.
So what's the plan? And to me, I'm okay with the plan. You're going to take a half step back on paper, but on the floor, you'll be just as good, if not better. If you come back without Kyrie and the rest of your team, you are a second round team. You are a mid-50 win team. You're in the second round, at least, if not the third round in the Eastern Conference. Okay, you're not a championship team, but you weren't this year. So your ceiling's lower, but practically speaking, you might even be better.
Sure, you're more likable.
And you'll be more likable if that matters to you. And you bide your time. You let some salary to come off the books, create some room, and reload and make another run at somebody when you've got all the money off your books.
Do you still think they're a 50-ish win team without Horford?
And by the way, I want Horford to go in that circumstance. If Kyrie walks out the door to Brooklyn, and Al Horford opts out, I think you have you're close to a max slot left. I think you have to peel one more piece off and you've got max money again this year.
Yeah, but then do you still think you're a 50-win team without Al Horford?
It depends who's coming in.
Okay. So, I just think Horford's an important piece in terms of being able to stay as that 50-win team. Otherwise, I think you might be 43-39. Like, we'll see. That. And listen, I hear it. I've told you what my priorities are. I want championships. I want great players. If you're not going to get that, you might as well be likable.
Okay. But in the meantime, maybe you take a step back, you grow the kids, clear out some money, and then come back firing in a year or two. I'm like, that might be the plan. Pat in the car on the Bruins. Go ahead, Pat. Patrick. Okay. I don't quite think he's ready to go there. Our buddy Pete's in Delaware. Yes, Pete.
Hey, guys. What I took away from Danny Ainge's press conference is there's two things. There's a better chance Terry Rozier is back than Kyrie Irving, which is disturbing. And the other thing is he went out of his way when asked about Gordon Hayward to praise him. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to find out that Kyrie left because he didn't have a running mate. And the running mate he was supposed to have was Gordon Hayward. And I think the Celtics are maybe propping Hayward up a little bit too when that news comes out. I think he left because he didn't have another running mate and he thought it was going to be Hayward.
Okay, well, Kyrie's never going to admit that, but that's probably part of the issue.
Except that what if he goes to Brooklyn and doesn't have a running mate?
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that I'm not sure the whole running mate thing is really the biggest factor.
You think if Gordon Hayward was better and Kyrie Irving trusted him, that the dynamic wouldn't be different?
It would be different. They'd be better and then maybe he'd stay. But if he goes to Brooklyn and they don't have a clear number two, then what difference does it make? Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, he's not getting it in Brooklyn either.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he still wouldn't blame this situation.
So that's fair. At the end of the day, I don't think that's what it is. I think it just didn't work. And, and when I say didn't work, Kyrie's a pill. He's a complete freaking egomaniacal, narcissistic pill. It's entirely 100% about him. And I don't know, and now this is how my mind works. In retrospect, ever since Murray told me about the whole, he's going home now the way LeBron went home, like that whole idea, if that was always on his radar, then that whole thing at season ticket holder day was a complete sham. That was just to throw the send off.
That's what Chris Casper thought at the time.
Yeah, I don't put it off Kyrie. I don't put it past Kyrie, rather, for him to just manufacture that whole thing to throw everyone off the scent. I think the guy's a, in retrospect, manipulative, conniving weasel.
And he considers himself a showman, too. Again, he wants to be known for more than just basketball. He's made these stupid movies. He's making another one. So that's part of the entertainment of everything. Let me get in front of these sucker fans, and I'll tell them, oh, I'll come back if you'll have me, because that's how he felt in the moment.
And and as much of as a manipulative, conniving little weasel as he is, I would still take him back. Doesn't that make me pathetic?
Yes, it does. Cam and Taunton, what are your thoughts on the Bruins?
What I want to see tomorrow night is, first of all, would you guys dress 7D? Even if Chara does play, dress 7D. Just because if someone's going to go down, it feels like, and when you guys have gone down, you've been worn out. But for the love of God, just get pucks on net. Bennington is not that good. He's not. He's in a weak 5 hole, and he's not that great with his gloves. Fire as many pucks on net. If the shot's there, fire it on net. I don't care how far away from the net you are. Just get it on net, because he's going to let some soft ones in if you keep peppering him like you did in game 3. Fire the puck on the net.
Agreed 100%. Just look at the Sean Corrali goal in game 3. The one just before the period that was challenged on the replay. He just threw the thing on net.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm not telling you you're going to score every time on that, but if you score 1 out of 10 and you can get 30 shots on net, I mean, that's what you're talking about.
I would even say the same about the Krug goal. And I know it got deflected in there
no
a little
question
bit.
But the Krug goal.
But it beat him short side. This kid can't adjust on the fly if the thing changes direction. He can't. And he's going to leave holes in the net. And he shakes the clown in there. I don't care what anybody says. He's not that good. He's okay. I'm not telling you he's a bum. He's not that good.
No excuse for taking 23 shots on the guy.
No, and look, the two games followed a similar formula in that way. They were outshot 37-23 and 38-23 in the two losses. So they're almost identical. 23 shots in the two losses. Get the effing puck to the net and let Skates over there try to stop it, because he'll fall on his fat ass.
So you have a big advantage in net.
You do. Still do.
You should. You should have a big advantage in net. So use it.
Yes. I think that it's one of the avenues that they can still win this thing. Of course, it would be nice if their best shooter or second best would shoot the effing puck.
And you're speaking of?
Marchand, shoot the puck. No shots last game. None. No shots on goal. Brad Marchand, like one of the best players in the league over the last couple of years. Over the last 4 years, he's what, like sixth in points and fourth in goals in the whole league. He had 100 points this year. No shots on goal in the last game? None. I mean, and I think he's their best offensive player. You want to sell me Pastrnak? I'll tell you, Pastrnak might be their best goal scorer. Marchand is their best offensive player because he can pass. Like, do something.
We continue with your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Well, that's what we need for 2 more games, maybe 3. If that's the case, that's what we need. It's a short period of time. Sorry, I cut you off, but if that's what, you know, the ask, then our players should be able to buy into that for sure. It's tough to say, well, we're going to survive for a month. We did that in November to keep our season, you know, sort of playoff hopes alive. Then we got everyone back and we got rolling a little bit. So I think our mindset will be fine in that regard. You just hate to lose a key player. Now you're talking about your captain and one of your leaders. So you lose some intangibles as well.
Bruce Cassidy and the loss of Zdeno Chara. We get closer now to game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Getting real. 2 wins from the Stanley Cup. 2 wins. And can you do it without Zdeno Chara for whatever? One of them? More than one of them? Whatever it's going to be. Felger Maz will be back on Canal Street tomorrow for the Fan Fest and our location at the Boston Sports Grill. Right? Is that
yep.
Where we're going to be?
Yep.
So we'll be there tomorrow from 2 to 7, getting you right up until the Dunkin' Donuts pregame. Then, of course, the game right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, crucial game 5. We'll have more coverage of it tonight. Again, the off-air show presented by Ace Ticket, myself and Adam Jones. Jonesy, 6 o'clock tonight on Facebook Live. Join us for that and Twitch. But Facebook Live primarily right at 6 o'clock, myself and Jones. Back to your phones, as promised. Jerry in the car, what are your thoughts on game 5 tomorrow?
Well, game 5, and, you know, to answer your question, can they win without Chara? Absolutely, they can win without Chara. And the key, you guys kind of stole my thunder before the break, is Bennington. He's a cupcake. I mean, look at the Bergeron, the shorty by Carlo the other night. Bergeron threw it to the net. The guy kicked it to Carlo. And then look at the Coyle goal. It's just he's a rebound machine. He's softer than a sneaker full of dog crap. Just look at his press conference the other night after he got blown out of a game. He's talking about how he rubs against the other goalie of the TV timeouts. He screeched from whatever that show was. Saved by the Bell. That's all he is. He's garbage. And shoot the puck.
Okay. I think it's a little strong, but the idea is if you have an advantage in net, put pucks on their goalie.
Yeah, look, you know, we're making him sound like a bum. I don't know that he's a bum.
He's not a bum.
I think he's average. I think he's an average goalie. That's what I think he is. And the caller's right about the rebounds, though. The one on the Coyle goal, Chara threw that from, like, almost under the faceoff circle. And it popped right out in front. So you get rebounds. But the Bruins got to get the pucks to the net. So now, again, but you know what happened in the last game? San Jose, I keep saying that. St. Louis just loaded its D up in front of the net because they know what he is. They know they have to cover for him. You know, we can't put it on the... We can't ask the goalie to make big saves because he can't.
Yeah, but I don't know. How many block shots did they even have? I'm going to look at it right now. Block shots for St. Louis, 7.
Yeah, I was going to say it was under 10.
7?
But you can't get... But the Bruins also tried to overpass and get pucks through their lateral.
So that's what I'm talking about. So all I'm saying is... They still didn't shoot enough in this game. It's not like they were shooting, getting blocked by Parayko in the defense. They only had 7 blocks.
No, it's almost like they see the size of them and they can't get it past these big trees.
No, they overpassed. Shoot. And if the D are blocking, the D are blocking. But, you know, start with shooting and then see where you go from there.
I'll even take the chance on the blocks. Maybe you get a deflection and it goes in because numbnuts there's not going to be able to stop it.
Ron and Waltham on Kyrie Irving. Go.
In the past season, Kyrie Irving put up personal best or tied his personal best in assists, blocks, steals, and rebounds per game, and only had 2 seasons in his career where he put up better numbers in terms of points per game or 3-point percentage per game. What that means is we've gotten the best out of Kyrie Irving. There's a reason why uninformed viewers think that Donovan Mitchell or Jamal Murray are better than Brown and Tatum. It's because Jamal Murray's played with Jokic, who's an unselfish ball mover. And Donovan Mitchell has been given the alpha role on the Jazz. He's been given full reign of the team. Brown and Tatum have been handcuffed by Kyrie Irving and all his antics. He's a diva. He needs to leave. We'll be a better team without him, no doubt.
Okay, Ron. To me, the numbers aren't the issue with Kyrie Irving. Because even with those performances, you were worse on the floor. It was this whole intangible and off-floor thing and sort of non-basketball thing related to
ego,
and then how that translated to effort and teamwork and all those things. That was the issue with the team. So I don't care what Kyrie's numbers are. That wasn't the problem. That wasn't the crux of the issue.
No, they couldn't figure it out again. So you know what my concern now is going forward? Are you going to have the same thing with Tatum, Brown, and Rozier if he sticks around? Like, is it now going to be I want more shots than you? I mean, if they'll do it with Kyrie, are they going to do it with each other? Are Brown and Tatum going to be able to coexist?
I don't know. That's a fair question. Can these kids handle it even without Kyrie? That's a fair thing to ask, Maz. Jerry in Rhode Island, go ahead. Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, hi, guys. I had a different take on Danny Ainge's press conference today than you guys did. I actually was screaming at my TV when you said, well, unfortunately, you know, Kyrie isn't the only one to blame, and everybody's putting all the blame on him. I was screaming at my TV going, he asked to be the leader. He asked for all this. What do you mean he's not to blame? I'm just, you know, I feel bad for Danny. It's just, I just kept screaming at the TV. Kyrie, I'm sorry.
Jerry, you're right. I think Danny's still kissing his ass.
Why is he still kissing his beard? It pisses me off.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Why is Danny still kissing his ass? Because he's still holding out hope that he changes his mind at the last minute and shows up for the wedding.
Because they want him back. They do. They want him back.
They're desperate and pathetic. Get a hold of your... Danny, you're groveling.
And this is truly... It's
that's
unbecoming.
Beneath you.
Everything that they've done has been unbecoming when it comes to this guy. From the commercials to talking about proverbial weddings to bending over backwards to Danny Ainge still emasculating himself with some of the stuff that he said about him today. At some point, they're just going to have to tell him to F off. If they know deep down he ain't going to come back and he wants no part of it, they should tell him to screw.
Yeah, I mean, they won't, though.
No, they, I know. They have too much class.
Yeah, they won't do that. But yes, that's exact. But when the caller said, I had the exact same thought. Kyrie asked for this.
It's so, you're right.
Why are we going to be okay in the spring? Because I'm here. Oh, all right. Well, what happens if you're here and you suck?
And then Danny Ainge says, I hate that it's always made about one guy.
Kyrie made it about one guy. But you know what? My guess is Ainge knows that too, and he just stopped short of saying it. Kyrie totally made this about himself. Any criticism he gets, he deserves.
Wayne in Grafton. How you doing, Wayne? What do you got?
I love, you know, I just love Chara. You know, I love him the bits, but you don't want an ineffective Chara on the ice. Tuca is the X factor. He doesn't stand on his head. He's in the zone. And, Tony, I'm with you on, you know, Marchand. You know, he's kind of stupid and tight, kind of like I like my women.
I didn't even let you get there, Wayne. Tuukka Rask is not a stand-on-your-head guy. He's an in-the-zone guy.
What's the difference?
There is a difference.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't, you know, bounce around like he's not laying on his back, throwing his legs in the air and stopping the puck.
A stand-on-your-head guy, right, is how did he make that save?
Yeah.
And he does it for 60 minutes, and boy, was he on his head that game. No, Rask is an in-the-zone guy. I don't know what that means. I don't know where to go with it from that, but I sort of know what he's saying. Okay, so fine.
I don't care what he is if the puck doesn't go in.
Tim Thomas at this stage in the last three games against the Vancouver Canucks allowed 1-2 and then 0 goals in games 5, 6, and 7, thus creating his legacy. The legacy of Tim Thomas was not the run necessarily. The run was spectacular. But if they had lost the cup, he's Pete Peters.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's just another goalie that got hot and came up short. No, he closed. 5, 6, and 7. Saved. I'm just trying to do it here. 24-25 in game 6. I'm sorry, in game 5, he saved 24-25 shots. In game 6, he saved 36-38. And then in game 7, stopped 37-37 and won the cup. And if Rask really wants to be Thomas, and that's what he's been trending towards and what he has been for this run, I mean, give it to him. He's played as well as Thomas did in 2011 up to this point.
His save percentage in the last three games was .970.
Tim Thomas' save percentage in the last three games was .970.
Yeah, I mean, exactly 97 out of 100.
So there you go. And it's not that he won every night. He lost a 1-0 game in game 5 out in Vancouver. But he gave the Bruins a chance in a game they got shut out by Bobby Lou. And then Bobby Lou promptly came here and crapped his pants.
I mean, to me, in this series, it feels like the magic number is 2. Tuukka's got to keep them 2 and under.
First 1 to 3 wins.
Yeah.
That's what this series is. No question.
Yeah, it feels that way, right? Like, it feels like that's the magic number. If you get to 3 goals, you should win.
You should be able to get to 3 against this goalie. Don't tell me you can't get to 3 against that guy.
Yeah, but to get 3 goals, you have to shoot the puck more than 3 times.
Yes, I think that's a good start. That would be a good place to start.
I told you, there was one instance, I should grab the video of it. Marchand was in the right faceoff circle on the power play. And he had and the puck was moving slow, right? The Blues were deliberate about it. He was holding the puck and had a straight lane to shoot it at Binnington. And he didn't. And I'm looking at it going, why wouldn't you shoot that? Why wouldn't you just take a chance and rifle it there? And either it breaks through and goes in, he saves it and you get a rebound, or you get a faceoff.
So you're saying, just like if they made me commissioner of sports, which they should, if they made you coach of the Bruins, that film session would be really easy for you, wouldn't it?
Piece of cake. In fact, as long as it's not on the ice, I'm in. Because if I got on skates, I'd lose my credibility.
No, film session, right.
But you want me in the video room with sneakers and a highlighter or maybe even a whiteboard? I'm in.
Murray's update's right here, and we're back with more. Your wonderful thoughts after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It depends. There's always risk in making deals. And so we're not afraid of risk. We made a risk by trading for Kyrie, and no matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on to the next deal.
That still, to me, Murray, was the money quote today.
That translates to every guy who knows he's about to get dumped or has been dumped or going to get left at the altar. You know, we had some good times. It's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all, right, guys?
Well, that's what that is.
Sure thing, Danny. Yeah. Yeah. Whew, man, you all right? Yeah, you know, we'll always have those memories. You know, we had that sweep of Indiana. That was nice. That was a good time. I always remember that.
We'd do it again.
Yep, I'd do it again. You poor, desperate man.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Who literally and figuratively just had his heart broken. Like, dude, like, get yourself together. It ain't worth it. Don't stress yourself out even more over this. Standing there today answering about this a-hole who wants nothing to do with this city and this team. Are you kidding me?
I mean, it is. It's amazing what has happened to them in the span of like a year.
Within an hour, Kyrie Irving takes to his Instagram and posts a story or a video of him playing grab ass with his old crossing guard from when he was a kid in New Jersey, where he wants to go back and live and play for the team he grew up watching, the Nets, that are now in Brooklyn.
And what was his note with the video? Home is where the heart is?
Home is where the heart is, essentially, yeah.
Now and always.
Now and always. AAF, like someone carved it into a tree. Always and forever, New Jersey. Heart. Oh, God. This is over. Poor Danny Ainge. Dude, get yourself together. It ain't worth it. Eat more greens and stay the hell away from Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Kyrie in Brooklyn sitting in a tree.
I'm just telling you, though. I mean, when you dial it back a year ago, it's like, this is your conference for the next decade.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
I mean, this is your time, and it's for a long time. Now you look at it, they might be the fourth or fifth team next year.
I mean, it is. It's astonishing how much it went the other way.
If Durant still goes to the Knicks and Kyrie Irving goes to the Nets and gets somebody and Durant gets somebody, and there's still Milwaukee and there's still now Philadelphia's like in your...
Yeah.
And
what if Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto?
I don't think he's going to, but if he does, it's like...
Oh, they're screwed.
Jeez. For the short term.
Yeah, you're the sixth seed.
For the short term. Well, you were the...
You sure about the short term?
You were the fourth seed this year, so what's really the difference?
Okay, you sure about the short term?
Yes. No, I'm not. No, I don't know what the future
brings.
If
Durant signs for 5 years and Kyrie signs for 5 years or four, whatever it is, and Kawhi Leonard stays and Giannis signs a Supermax, and he stays there for however many years, 10 years, how are you going to do then?
Maybe that's why Danny sounded so miserable today. Uh-huh.
After spending all that time telling everybody within earshot, this is the one. She's a safe bet. We're going to build. We're going to have a family. We're going to own this forever. And then comes February of 2019, and the wife-to-be goes down to Charlotte to party with her gal pals. Specifically, Kevin Durant realizes, oh, this could be a little bit more fun. I haven't got this out of my system yet. I think I want to go party with my gal pals somewhere else, not with the safer bet, the Boston Celtics and Danny Ainge. We're still getting married, right? We'll see.
She doesn't want safe. She wants New York.
He's toast. The party.
Money-grabbing wench.
Unless there's a lot of bluffing going on out there. Molly and Malden. Go ahead, Molly.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised I'm on. What up, fellas? I just wanted to weigh in on Kyrie Irving for the simple fact that that cat has never, ever been a Celtic. For the simple fact that he is all about getting him. And once you have a guy that's all about getting him and not the team, then you have a problem. You can tell in the finals, well, not even in the finals, in the playoffs, when that cat was, like, trying to get his. How do you get yours when you have a whole other team, man? You have a whole team to go ahead and get through first. In the third, fourth quarter, Kyrie, please take over. But till then, you have to get everybody else involved. But as far as Danny Ainge goes, Danny Ainge is the man. He put that team together, and that team looked great. Did it not?
Okay, I look good on paper. He misdiagnosed the egos and the selfishness and that thing and the immaturity. Frankly.
Totally.
You know, he miscalculated. And I don't, you know, he started with talent, which was what you have to do in that league. But at some level, I guess you still do have to have a team, even in the NBA. You got to have functioning adults and professionals, and he miscalculated that.
At the very least, he should have known that Terry Rozier was probably going to be a problem, right? Because the ego got built up there pretty big towards the end of last season. You had an opportunity to move him, even at the trade deadline. When you knew at that point it wasn't working, Rozier should have been out the door.
I mean, it really is. It sounds stupid to say it. They had too many players. They had too many players. And he, you know, I think he should have moved Rozier at the deadline.
Kevin in the car on the Bruins. What do you got, Kev?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I think that it's pretty simple for what the Bruins got to do. He's got to put pucks on net. Another thing too is that they can't get caught up in the Blues game. They're not the Bruins like they used to be. They're a faster team. They're smarter, and I think these guys stick to their game.
Yeah, thanks. skate and shoot, and you're going to take some shots. So the thing that Pastrnak did the other night, you can't have that.
Sure,
you know you're going to lose that physical battle, but you know that's a real bad tone and a real bad thing to be, you know, laying off corners in the first 2 minutes of the game. No, you got to go in there and you got to take a hit and make the play.
But you got to fight for the puck.
Skating and shooting.
I mean, absolutely. The Bruins can't, you know, go out of their way to get into a physical game with this team. They'll lose.
Nick and Quincy on Kyrie. Yes, Nick.
Hey, Mike. First time, long time. I just wanted to tell you, after Kyrie in the playoffs there, I took my Celtics onesie pajamas and my Kyrie Irving jersey and my Celtics hat with the little pom-pom on the top. And I took it and put it in the trash can with one big bag. I didn't bring it down to Sabres so some poor kid would have to wear that jersey. I can't wait to see him go to the Nets and boo him when he comes to town.
It's going to be delicious, Nick. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you for listening. The one big bag.
So him and the Nets would be good.
That's a good listener. I mean, I think the ultimate villain is him with Durant as a Nick, as a New York Knickerbocker, to come into the Boston Garden. Ooh, that first time. Ooh, that's good. The Nets, like, are the Nets even boo-worthy? The Nets aren't, but he is. So either way, if he's in the East and he's in your way.
Yeah, I mean, it's problematic regardless.
As a talk show host, that's all I'm sort of looking for. If he goes to the Lakers, it's a little wasted. He comes back once a year, and you only face him if you both make the finals. Odds become long on that regard. He's not really in your way. If he's in Brooklyn or certainly the Knicks, he is in your face.
He's in your division.
He's in your face.
That's awesome.
All season long. And so that's good eating from the old, sports drama department. Mary in Marshfield. Go ahead, Mary.
Hey, guys. I have 2 points on the Turtles. I mean the Bruins. First, Tuukka Rask. I have a self-inflicted gag order on calling him the P word. And until he wins this cup, he's Tuukka to me again, finally. But let's see what happens. We were in the same position in 2013, tied 2-2, and he just couldn't finish it. Secondly, Marchand. I saw that time when Tony was talking about, he just stood there like he was in quicksand with the puck. He's got to shoot. In 2013, he was 24 years old. He was a big goose egg in the finals.
He was, Mary.
And he only had 55 points maybe that year. This year, he's 30. He's got 100 points in the regular season. He's on the TV talking about Chara. Show up tomorrow night, Marchand. I want to see more from this guy right now.
Great call, Mary.
I mean, that's my point. He's your leading scorer. He is your leading scorer. He was a 100-point player this year. Like, in the last 4 years, he's been one of the, call it, five best offensive players in the league, if you go by points and goals. He is right there with anybody. And he doesn't get a shot on goal in game four, and he gets one in game three. Like, I look at that and say, what's the story here? You tell me you don't even have an inning to shoot the puck? Bergeron shot the puck in the last game, and he got an assist as a result of it. Shoot the effing puck.
Mike in the truck, what do you got?
Yeah, Felger, I used to play deck hockey, and I broke my jaw, and I still played, so Chara's going to be fine. No, but in all seriousness, I still think that there's a good chance he's going to play. Think of all the stuff that Bergeron played through in 13. He had, like, a punctured lung, a broken rib, like, three or four things. I think that it was probably more difficult for Bergeron to play then than it should be for Chara to play now. He's just got to worry about people bumping into him.
Well, only that against the most physical team we've ever seen, Mike. But, I mean, I think you're fair to say that it's in the cards that he could return at some point in the series. How effective, Bergeron played in 13, but it wasn't pretty at times. I mean, it really wasn't at all. One of the reasons you lost to that Blackhawks team, he was toast by the end. And they were better, but those injuries caught up to him, even though he was still on the ice. I'd be hard pressed to think Chara's in there tomorrow night, but at some point, yes. Now you talk about at what effectiveness level.
I mean, it's a good question, because the Blues aren't going to shy away. They're still coming.
Pat Maroon will elbow him right in the chin.
He will. He'll do it. Yeah,
of course they will.
I mean,
and shouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, short of a penalty, yeah.
I mean, what I mean is, if it were on the other side, what would we want our guys to go do?
Yeah, you just got to pretend it doesn't exist. You can't all of a sudden show humanity. Like, you know, and I don't think the Blues have it in them anyway. I don't think they're wired that way. That team is
vicious.
They are vicious. I in game two, when I saw that, I went, ooh. So the only hope is that they're getting banged up and we don't know it. That, you know, because... Yeah. Because I just think they're bigger and stronger than the Bruins. I don't think that's debatable.
Justin and Malden, a Kyrie Irving thought.
Hey, how are you? I'm sorry about that. If you look on Kyrie's Instagram, he's doing a basketball camp in July with Jason Tatum. Now you guys are advertising that basketball camp with just Jason Tatum.
Is that true? When you say you guys, is that...
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub? So, yep. Justin, thank you for the tip. Is that true?
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I haven't heard the spot. I mean, well, we saw Jason Tatum on the flight to St. Louis. He looked like he was miserable. So
yeah, maybe that's because he was on that airline. There was no first class.
I'm sure someone, you know, from the ad agency or whoever called up and made that change. I don't think we did it on our own.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, either way, if you're saying that's a tell, fine. I think the way Danny Ainge was walking around with his tail between his legs today, the poor bastard, I think that's another tell.
Yeah, no. Kyrie is doing a camp. It's just in Brooklyn.
John in Rhode Island. Yes, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What I don't understand about the whole Kyrie thing is, what has he ever really brought to the table for the Celtics for the Celtics to want to sign him to a max deal? I don't understand with the way that system works, that if you get a really good scorer, like above average scorer, if their winning percentage isn't the same or better than it was this year with Kyrie. Well, and by the way, with the Bruins, it looked like when Chara went down, it seemed like there was an emotional like deflation between that with that team when he went down there.
Well, maybe. I mean, they allowed that massive flurry, that zone time to St. Louis right after, and they ultimately tied it up in that flurry, unbelievably. There may have been, because in the third period, they barely touched the freaking puck. Never mind shoot it. They barely touched it. The first thing about, you know, why would they even want Kyrie in the first place? It's just a paper thing. Like I said before, this whole analysis of are they better with him or without him? If you think they're better with him, it's just a hypothesis. It's just a theory. It did not play out on the floor. And I think Danny Ainge probably buys the theory. You know, he believes it's all about talent in that league.
Okay, so look, I know how it ended this year. I mean, we all saw it. But before the playoffs last year, didn't we all think it looked pretty good?
No, the first half of last year, not last year, the year before, meaning, you know, 2017-18, he was really good. They were really good.
Yes. So like, the thing is what changed in there? Like, and I think we all know, like, they had success without him, and all of a sudden the whole thing got flipped, and Kyrie got insecure about it and the whole nine yards. But at the beginning, it looked like it was going
to
work.
I had one little Patriots thing today that we never got to, but I just want to do this here real quick. Jake in the car, what do you got? What's on your comment line?
Hey, guys. Wanted to discuss the possibility of Sony Michel holding out to cash in now due to the shelf life of running backs and the Patriots drafting a back.
So what indication do you have that he's holding out?
Just that he's not showing up.
Okay. So I just meant to ask this. He hasn't been out there. Has there been any word on it?
Nope. Not that I've seen.
I mean, we know Isaiah Wynn's coming back from the Achilles.
Yep.
And we know, whatever, Michael Bennett works out on his own. Apparently Van Noy works out on his own. And Van Noy was there. Mm-hmm. So the guys that have missed so far, they've all been accounted for in one way, shape, or form these last couple days. When I say before, last week.
Yeah.
So they've all either shown up or we know they have an injury. Except for Michelle. And when I say that, I mean, has Bill been asked about it? Has there been any reporting about it? I can't fathom he's holding out over what? Over
that wouldn't
a
make any sense.
Over a, and I'm sorry to do this to you, but just a above average rookie year. And I don't want to get into the whole running back thing here, but let's just factually, how was his rookie year?
It was good.
It's good.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
It wasn't great.
No,
it was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Go ahead.
He didn't suck or blow. He was good.
Yeah, I'm just keeping my mouth shut because he was good.
He was good. Small G, good. Not great. Not like, okay, so he couldn't possibly be anything like that. So I don't think it's a monetary holdout. But what's the...
And I'm reading from Phil Perry here today, who wasn't there. Sony Michel continues to miss time, wasn't available for the second day, finished last season healthy enough, blah, blah, blah. Long-standing knee issues, could be buying as much time as possible for his knee to rest until camp begins.
I mean, that's all fine.
Yeah, but this is mandatory. At least show up.
I mean, at least the guys that are usually rehabbing or injury, like Isaiah Wynn's out there, but he's sort of off to the side. And injured guys are off to the side, or they're on the hill, or they're on the bike, or you see them walk into the trainer's room, or blah, blah, blah. Has anyone even seen Sony Michel?
Nope.
I'm just curious. I'm not saying there's no way he's holding out monetarily. That would be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's not holding out for money.
Maybe he's hurt.
But is there something going on?
Maybe he got hurt during the offseason and doing who knows what.
Curious about the Michel thing.
Maybe he's pissed they took a running back in the third round, Damian Harris.
I just can't fathom that. I can't fathom that. Or is there a reason they took a running back in the third round?
Again, because maybe something happened to him that we don't know about.
So is there a reason they took that Harris kid where they did? We all wondered at the time. That seems a little redundant.
Yeah.
But what if there's an issue with Michel that necessitated it?
Yeah, I mean, now that we are where we are, don't you think that that's probably what happened?
All right, so there's a little Bruins, Patriots minute for you right here at the end. Final word comes your way next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Felger, Maz, off-air show, myself and Jones. Facebook Live coming up in 1 minute, presented by Ace Ticket. Join us there on Facebook Live.
And with that, one quick piece of sound to get to here in the final word today. As we know, technical errors are an unfortunate part of the radio business. Sometimes a sound clip doesn't fire, and sometimes a music bed doesn't fire. And then
right. You
get this.
Got a gun. Yes, I got two. That's okay, man, because I love God.
Glorified version of a pellet gun. Feels so manly when all glorified version of a pellet gun.
There you go.
Version of a pellet gun.
That's all I really know. Ah, there we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. See? Pretty good at karaoke.
Oh, that was it. Huh?
That was it.
All right, that was it.
It's very good. After 10 years, you know the lyrics, Matt. Yeah, music bed didn't fire, so we sang. Simple as that. Not very well. Maz, baseball reporters, what do you got coming up?
Red Sox defeated the Kansas City Royals last night. That was a big one. I can't say that with a straight face. I'm sorry. Who gives a rat's ass? You played a single A team last night, for crying out loud. Nonetheless, I will say that there were a couple of things that struck me during the course of the game. Also, Chris Sale on the mound tonight against the Royals. More importantly, they just finished up the Major League Draft here in the last couple of days. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to sort of revisit how the Red Sox have done in the first round in drafts in recent years. And this relates to Dave Dombrowski specifically, but also a bigger picture question regarding the Red Sox. So we'll get to that.
Okay, baseball reporters, 90 seconds, no commercials, just an update. Then you get Maz. Tomorrow we come to you from Canal Street before Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. We'll talk to you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.